Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Well, we had a wonderful time last week. It was wonderful for me because I got to share with you some of the amazing things that God has been doing in my heart. As I mentioned to you, I've been a tither most of my life. God kind of burdened me with that, but I'd never studied out the reasons why. And so it was so much fun to begin to look at and to see some of the amazing things that God had put in that whole principle of tithing. Remembering that it is returning to God that first tenth, and with that goes our heart. You know, it's funny because it doesn't say that our heart goes first. It says actually that when we give the tithe, then our heart follows it. And so that first time that we write out that check or the first time we enter it in online, you know, it feels kind of awkward and you keep waiting for this moment where God's going to kind of go boing and it's all going to be there. And then as you give, God begins to meld your heart and it's powerful. Why should we give to a God who clearly owns everything? Why should we need to give to a God that clearly owns everything? Well, we talked last week about the fact that it was all about our heart, and that was the purpose of it for God. But there's a couple of amazing verses that I just want to share with you that kind of go back to speak about this a little bit. The earth and everything in it contains, let me say that again, the earth and everything it contains are the Lord's. The world and all who live in it are his. He laid its foundation on the seas and set it firmly on the rivers. For of course, every house is built and furnished by someone. But the builder of all things and the furnisher of the entire equipment of all things is God. Psalms 115:16 says, "The heavens are the Lord's." Heavens, but the earth has he given, entrusted, issued, assigned, let out to the children of men. One more verse. The God who produced and formed the world and all the things in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in handmade shrines, neither is he served by human hands, as though he lacked anything. For it is he himself who gives life and breath and all things to all people. And probably my favorite verse of all is this one. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine, or upon the mountains where they are. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because they're all mine. Now, it's interesting that God says that and kind of reminds us of the fact, I own everything. I was the one that designed it. I was the one that created it. I'm the one that holds it together by the power of my word. It's all mine, every single bit of it. We actually know the one who created it all. We actually know the one who designed it all, who thought it all, who holds it together in the power of his word. We know that person. We know him if we have a relationship with God. And that very God, the one who doesn't really need us because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owns the hill, he owns all the gold, he owns all of that, the one who owns it all, we know. And the truth of the matter, he doesn't need us for anything, but the amazing thing is he chooses us. God chooses to partner with us. Remember, he spoke it into existence. Remember that? Just his word. He thought it into existence. Just his thought. But God has chosen to limit himself here on earth to partnering with us. Have you imagined God's view? Have you thought about it? By the way, some of these are from the Hubble telescope. They're true, actual pictures, not CDI. Have you thought of how God sees things? How magnificent it is? this God, this amazing God, the one who created it all. Before the foundations of the earth, he chose you. Before you were a gleam in your mother's eye, he chose you. He wants you. It clearly says in John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've appointed you, and I planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, that your fruit may be everlasting. Another amazing verse, for I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And one of my favorite things is to understand this. Not only did he choose you, but he created you very, very specifically. Did you know that in your genetic makeup, DNA wraps around protein and histones? This combination is a nucleosome. The nucleosomes are then packed into a thread-like fiber called a chromatin. Chromatins are then looped around and coiled. Chromosomes and chromosoids are what you're made of. And the cells divide, and you are who you are. But who made those choices? Who made those decisions? Who picked you? Why did you become born? Were there other options? According to science, there are lots and lots of them, probably about 100,000 of them. Why you? Why do you like the things you like? Why are your eyes the color they are? Why is your hair the color your hair is? Why do some of us not have as much hair as other people? Why do you like music? Can you tinker with things? Why is that an innate ability within you? Can you draw? Can you paint? Can you sing? Does your mind organize things in a certain way? Why are you the way you are? You're the way you are because God designed you to be that, to be you. Precious, designed by God. Precious, designed in his image. Precious. To be exactly what God wanted you to be. Why is life so precious? Because God is the one that designed it. There's an amazing verse, and it's Ephesians 2:10. I have made you what you are. That's all of that DNA, the chromosomes, all of the stuff that went into you. Why are you the way you are? I have made you what you are. The second part of that is I've created you in Christ Jesus. Now that's interesting, this created you in Christ Jesus, because that has to do with your spiritual gifts and the things that you've learned throughout your life, training and other things, the talents you've developed, the schooling that you've had, some of the hard knocks you've had to face. The combination of those, I have made you what you are, and I've created you in Christ Jesus. The combination of those two things is who you are in the chair you sit in today. That's who you are. But the key is this, to live your life filled with good works, which I have prepared for you to do. Did you know that God designed you specifically for collision points? Times when everything that you are, where you work, all your talents, all your abilities, your interests, your aptitudes, even your looks, are set specifically to collide with a point in time that God has prepared specifically for you. And you're all that's needed with his power. You're all that's necessary with his power. You were designed for great purpose. I have made you what you are. I've created you in Christ Jesus to live your lives filled with good works, which I have prepared for you to do. Now, I want to go through some verses, and I want to help you understand the purpose, okay? Now, God in this passage is talking to Israel. He's talking to the children of Israel, and he's talking to them very specifically, and they have gone and they've said, you know, Lord, and I'm not going to read all the verses that precede this. It's a fantastic passage, and I would highly recommend that maybe you consider reading it on your own at some point in time. But the children of Israel are there, and they say, God, we're fasting. And we're seeking you every day. We're trying to get your will. We're trying to do all the right things. God, look at what we're doing. We're giving of our time. We're sacrificing. That's their argument to God. And God tells Isaiah, tell them this. All of your sacrifice, all of your seeking me, all of those things is overshadowed by something. You're arguing and you're bickering. And you're withholding wages, and you're doing all of these things, and you're picking the times and places that you want to do all your stuff. And what I've asked you for is not to decide all that stuff. What I've asked for you to do is to live for me. This is the fast that I'm accepting and that I want you to be part of. And this was God's answer. Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring your house or into your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, isn't it not to cover them? Then your light shall break forth like morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in the drought. Strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Do you think God has a plan for you? Do you remember the first verses we talked about? I have made you what you are. I created you in Christ Jesus to live your life filled with good works, which I have prepared for you to do. You see, God designed you with specific abilities because there are certain people that need your touch. They need you. They actually need what you have. You're the perfect fit for their situation. You have credibility in areas that maybe other people don't have credibility in. Some of them you probably don't want that credibility in. But you got it. You've experienced things that there are other people that they just haven't experienced. You've seen things that there are other people that maybe haven't seen those same things. And when the time comes, God creates these amazing collision points. And these collision points are designed for you. And it'll be just what you are that will fit perfectly with just what they are. And God will partner with you for amazing, great things. If the first part of what God wants, if the first thing that God wants is he wants your heart, he wants your heart so that there is that communion and you are with him, what is the purpose for wanting your heart? Relationship. When you become a child of God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are adopted as part of his family. You become joint heirs with Jesus, according to the scripture. You become part of the family of God, and part of the family of God is to begin to interact with him and do amazing things. His plan for you is to do phenomenal things as part of his family, as a representative of him. Judge not, neither pronounce judgment, nor subject to censor, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned nor pronounced guilty. Acquit and forgive and release. Give up, resent it, let it drop, and you'll be acquitted and forgiven and released. Give, and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they be poured into your bosom? For with the measure you deal out, it will be measured back to you. Oftentimes, our lives are full of situations where our first response is to judge. Now, I'm not referring to making good choices. I'm not referring to discernment. I'm not talking to the fact that there are times that you decide where your children can go based on safety. I'm not saying that you shouldn't support or not support things based on that. But what I'm telling you is this: according to God's word, judgment is the first thing that enters most of our thoughts and minds when he begins to call us and say, hey, this is the collision point I have for you. Judge not, lest you be judged. Next one, acquit and forgive and release. This is one that I have struggled with at different times in my life. When somebody has done something wrong to you, when somebody has said something bad about you, when somebody has abused you, does that stay inside? Or are you able to let that go? Is that what is in your mind every time you see them? Or can God help you with the collision points where all you are and all you were designed to be collides with who they are, and you have the input in their life that is desperately needed? Now, it's funny when you look at that, because also with acquitted, the word released is, there are times when we are genuinely wronged. I have experienced many of those times. I was shot, I was blown up, I was poisoned, I was stabbed. I've had a lot of things happen in my life. I know what it's like to be abandoned. And all of those wounds which hurt, all of those things which are painful, can define who you are and become who you are. Or they can fall under the first category. I have made you who you are. I have created you in Christ Jesus. You see, when it falls in the in Christ Jesus, it means that we release the pain. We release the person. We agree to hold harmless that person, that circumstance, that company, that group of people. And at that point in time, you have credibility in an area that you may never have wanted to have it. But it's there for a purpose, so you can help others. God's plan, so that you can help others. Now's the fun part. You see, God forgives us. God chooses to hold us harmless. God doesn't judge us if we've accepted Jesus. And all of those same things are how God treats your finances also. You see, if you're not holding people accountable for the things that they did. You're not forgiving. You're not acquitting. You're not doing those things. There are hindrances to what God can do. But when we release, when we use good judgment, look what he says. Give and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why? Because it's those collision points. Remember we talked about the collision points where what God made you to be is colliding with what God has for you to do and the person that God wants you to minister to? You see, when you insert in that collision point, that becomes highly, highly blessed. But see, when you're a good steward, when you do what God wants you to do, when you are his hands and feet, when all that you were created to be interacts with what he has the plan for you, when that happens, he blesses it richly and greatly, and he gives you what you need, and always, always, always more. And sometimes it's 50, sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's 1,000 times what you gave, because that's your need. Why? Because you didn't look at yourself first. You didn't put yourself first and say, I'm not helping them. Do they not have any idea of the problems I got going on right now? Because you're willing to let who you are under the power of God collide with what he needs and what he wants. And when you do that, he will bless it and magnify it. And he will always, always, always provide for your needs. God says in his word, when you loan to the needy, it is like loaning to him. In Matthew, he talks about the fact that when he was hungry, some people came and gave him food. When he was thirsty, some people came and gave him drink. When he was in prison, some people came and visited him. When he was alone, some people took him in. And in that illustration, people say, God, when did we do that? When were you hungry? When were you lonely? When were you in prison? When were you sick? When were you naked? God's response was, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of one of these, my children, you have done it unto me. You see, God's plans for your life is to be under the window of heaven. You're under the window of heaven because you give him the first. You honor him with that. And with that goes your heart, the most important thing. And it's always the first. And then he wants you to partner with him. Partner for greatness so that everything you are collides with everything that he needs. And in those moments, you become the hands of God. Giving sloppy, wet kisses to people who need to hear from God. That sloppy, wet kiss. And it may be a word, and it may be a check, and it may be a tank of gas. It may be a reoccurring gift to help people that you may never meet in another country who need clean water. But it is every time powerful. Every time blessed, every time anointed, every time as if it were given to God himself.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.